Do you know who I am? What's my name? Will you ever forget me? You'll always remember me. Even if I go back to Australia and come back again in a few months' time, will you still remember my name? Really? Knock, knock. You've forgotten my name already? That's an old joke. I'm going to tell you a story. Do you love your mum and dad? Do you always do what you're told? Why not? Sometimes, because your mum and dad are very wise. Once upon a time, a long time ago. Yeah. Once upon a time, a long time ago, there was a mummy and daddy parrot. And they had lots of children. Had a very big family. And mummy and daddy parrots were very wise and very kind. What do parrots eat? They eat fruit. So the mummy and daddy would always know where the good fruit was. And so they lead all their children to eat and be healthy and grow strong. But sooner or later, like all mummies and daddies, they grow old. And soon the mummy and daddy were so old, it was hard for them to fly. So their eldest son said, "Mum, Dad, you don't need to go to work anymore. You stay on your tree, and I will find the food for you with all of my friends, all of your children." And so from that time on, Mummy and Daddy didn't need to go to work anymore because they were old and tired. And their children and their grandchildren would go flying, finding fruit, and they would always bring something back for their mum and dad because they were very good children. And the family lived very happily for many years. And as Mummy and Daddy grew older, when they became grandparents, they became so weak, they both became blind. They could not see anymore. But still, their children and their grandchildren would always get the best fruit and bring it home to their parents. And one day, the children and grandchildren had gone together and were away a long time. And when they came home, Mum and Dad, who were now blind, they could hear their children come back. And their children were all excited. And the head son said, "Mum, Dad, we found this wonderful place with these delicious mangoes. Eat this mango. It's the most delicious mango we've ever tasted." And the father ate into that mango and spat it out. And he said, "I know where this mango has come from. My father and his father always told us never to take the mangoes from that place. That was an island. That was an island a long way away, wasn't it?" And the son said, "Yes, how did you know?" "It's because my father and his father told me never go to eat the mangoes on Danger Island." And the son said, "Why not?" "I don't know why not," said the father, "but we always kept that tradition. We never eat the mangoes on Danger Island." "Why not? They're sweet, they're delicious. What's wrong?" "Son, please do what I say. Don't eat the mangoes on Danger Island." And the son thought, "My father is stupid. My father doesn't know what he's talking about. There's nothing wrong with Danger Island. It's got a stupid name, that's all." So the next day, they went back to Danger Island. And that day, the mangoes were even more delicious than the day before, as they were growing more ripe. But before they ate any of those mangoes, all the parrots, they scouted Danger Island to see if there were any snakes, any foxes, anything which is dangerous to them. And they couldn't find any dangerous animal there. So they thought, my father and grandfather, they were wrong. And so they ate those mangoes. And they brought three or four of the most delicious mangoes back with them to their mother and father. But the father refused to eat. Son, he said, please listen to me. Never eat the mangoes on Danger Island. But we've looked all over the island. There's nothing wrong there or dangerous. Please do what I say. Stupid man, said the son. You should never say things like that to your father or your mother. Because the next day, they all went back to Danger Island. Late at night, they hadn't come back. The following morning, they hadn't came back. They never came back. They all died. And mother and father, they were unable to feed themselves. They waited and waited, every day getting more hungry, until mother and father also died of starvation. You know what happened on Danger Island? That third day, the mangoes were so delicious. They ate so many mangoes. And they thought, these are so delicious. Let's eat one more mango. And then, just one more. And then, just one more. And by the time they left the island, it was already getting very dark. And they were so heavy in their tummy to eating so many mangoes. It was so hard to fly. They couldn't fly fast enough to get back home before it was dark. And when it gets dark, the birds can't see where they're going. They couldn't find the land. They kept going round and round in circles, lost in the darkness of the night, until they get more and more tired. And one by one, through exhaustion, through not being able to fly anymore, they fell into the sea and died one by one. And none of them ever came home. And not only that, because the son never listened to his parents, not only did all the children die, but so did the mother and father. It was those mangoes were too delicious. That's why they said never eat the mangoes on Danger Island, because that's what happens. Is that a sad story? And why did everybody die? Because they never listened to their mother and father. So never think your parents are stupid. Sometimes they know more than you'll ever know. So if they say, never go to Danger Island, never go to the bad places in Singapore, you say, why not? It's fun. There's a reason. And sometimes if you kill yourself, who's there to look after your mother and father? That's why. You never eat the mangoes on Danger Island means you always follow what your mum and dad say. How many mum and dads have you got? Just one pair. So you have to look after them and be kind to them. It's the same with your teachers in school. Do you always listen to your teachers? Do you want to be smart? If you want to be smart, you have to listen. And also, when any teacher is talking, you have to be quiet and not speak while teacher is talking. Yesterday, I went to Mito School. Does anyone go to Mito School here? That's far in the north. I told a story there about why children should learn how to be quiet and not speak while the teacher is talking. And it's a very famous Buddhist story of the talkative tortoise. Hands up if you know the story of talkative tortoise. Most of you don't know. And I'll tell you the story now. A long time ago there was a tortoise. He was only a young tortoise about your age. And he never had any friends. You know why he never had any friends? Because he could not stop talking. Whenever he met anyone, he'd start talking and he wouldn't stop talking. He would keep talking and talking and talking. He wouldn't listen to anybody. He'd talk so long and so fast that no one had a chance to say anything because he was a talkative tortoise. He wouldn't stop talking. He was like that. Or even worse. So any time the rabbit saw him, the rabbit would run down his hole. Any time the fish saw him, they would dive under the rocks. Even the birds would fly up into the trees. Because once they got talking to talkative tortoise, they'd be there for hours and they couldn't say anything. Because he'd keep talking and talking and talking. He wouldn't shut up at all. He'd just be talkative tortoise. Whatever he'd say, he'd keep on talking. He wouldn't stop at all. He would hardly breathe. Wonder why actually he could breathe. I thought he was breathing through his ears because he wasn't breathing through his mouth because he was talking so much. He was a talkative tortoise. That's what he was like. And talkative tortoise lived up in the mountains by a lake. And actually, because he had no friends, he was very, very lonely. He was a very sad tortoise. Which is why, you should not be like talkative tortoise. But he had two friends. Every summer, when it got too hot down below the mountains, two swans, have you ever seen a swan? Beautiful big birds. Two swans would fly up into the mountains to have vacation when it was too hot down where they lived. And they would vacation by the beautiful lake in the mountain. And they wouldn't mind talkative tortoise talking to them. In fact, the swans were the only people who ever listened to talkative tortoise. He was their only friends. And talkative tortoise loved the summertime when the swans came. But he got very sad when it was time for talkative tortoise to leave, for the swans to leave. And he said, "Please don't go. I've got no other friends, only you," said talkative tortoise. And the swan said, "We have to go." And the tortoise said, "Can't you take me with you?" And swan said, "Tortoises can't fly." And tortoise said, "Well, if I walked, it would take me so long because tortoises go so slowly." But the swans were not only kind. Like most kind beings, they're also very clever. And the two swans thought for a while and said, "We can take you with us. As long as you promise one thing." And tortoise said, "I promise, I promise." He hadn't heard what he was supposed to promise yet. He said, "Well, I promise." Never promise until you hear what you're supposed to promise. And the two swans says, "You have to promise to keep your mouth shut." And tortoise said, "It's easy, I can always keep my mouth closed. I hardly speak at all, I'm a very quiet tortoise. In fact, we tortoises hardly ever speak. And I can keep my mouth shut with no problem at all because tortoises are like this, we don't need to keep our mouth." And after 10 or 15 minutes, the tortoise shut up. And the swan said, "Now this is serious, you've got to keep your mouth shut." And what they did, one swan, got hold of a stick in its beak. And the other tortoise got hold of the stick in its beak, the other end. And they told tortoise, "Bite on into the middle." And so there was tortoise, biting on into the middle of the stick, and the two swans on either end. And they flapped their wings harder and harder and harder. And what do you think happened? Nothing. Tortoise was too heavy. He was a very fat tortoise. Because people who usually talk too much are usually very fat. So the swans had to get a lighter stick. Swans got a lighter stick. And they said, bite on to the middle. And the two swans bit into either end. And they flapped their wings harder and harder and harder. Still they didn't take off. And the swans put extra effort in. They flapped their wings harder than they've ever flapped before. And eventually, the swans rose into the air together with the stick. And in the middle of the stick, talkative tortoise. That was the first time in history a tortoise ever flew. He went higher and higher and higher. And tortoise saw things that no other tortoise had ever seen before. He started taking notes so he could tell all of his friends, anyone who would listen to him, when he got back. Higher and higher he went. He was enjoying himself flying down to where it would be nice and warm during the winter. But what happened next? Not yet. He flew over a school. Just like your school, when the kids were coming out of class. And one boy happened to look up into the sky. And what do you think he saw? A flying tortoise. And he pointed out to his friend, hey, look up there, there's a stupid tortoise flying. And you know what happened? The tortoise said, who are you calling stupid? Uh-oh. That's right. And the tortoise fell down and down and down and went splat. Right in the schoolyard. He died. And you know why he died? Because he couldn't keep his mouth shut. So if you can't keep your mouth shut, that's what will happen to you one day. So don't end up like talkative tortoise. So, if you want to be smart and if you want to be clever, number one, listen to your parents and your teachers so you don't end up like those parrots. Number two, be like talkative tortoise. And number three, be kind. In Australia, a few years ago, a boy was coming home from school on his bicycle. He had a BMX bike, which was a very good bike. And he passed some older children. They had captured a rabbit. You know a rabbit? This was a wild rabbit. They captured it. And they were hurting the rabbit. That's very cruel to hurt a rabbit. And so the boy stopped, got off his bike. And even though these boys who were being cruel to the rabbit were bigger than him, and he was outnumbered, he said, don't do that to the rabbit, that's cruel. They said, get out of here, go away. He said, don't do that, none of your business, they said. He said, I'll give you my bike if you'll give me the rabbit. His nice BMX bike. This is true story. It was in the newspapers in the town where I live, in Perth. And the children thought, a rabbit's not worth very much. Bicycles are worth a lot. They said, deal. So these boys took this kid's bicycle, and the kid took the rabbit, and took it home to look after it. When he got home, his mum and dad said, "Where's your bicycle? What are you doing with that rabbit?" And the boy told what had happened. And the parents were so impressed, said, "That's what being kind is like. It's more important to give up your bike to help a poor little rabbit." And one of the parents worked for the newspaper. So they put it as a story in the newspaper the next day about how children can be really kind. The next day, three bicycles arrived at the house. People who read that thought, what a wonderful child that was. And they donated to the boy three new BMX bicycles. So he only gave up one, and he got three back. Why do you think that was? Because he was kind. So if you're kind, you will always get nice things happen to you. Here's another story. This is also for the parents in the back. I read this story a long time ago. There was a boy who was in high school. And while he was, you know, in the high school, in the secondary school, his parents were very, very, very poor. So in order to help pay for his books and his clothes, he found odd jobs. And one odd job was actually selling magazines door to door. He would go into the HDB flats, knock on the door to sell things. But this wasn't in Singapore, this was in another country. And he'd been working all day. And he hadn't sold very much, because it's very difficult to sell things like that. And he knocked on the door of a woman. She answered. He said, "Do you like to buy a magazine?" She said, "No, thanks." But then she stopped. And he said, "How old are you?" He said, "About 15. And he said, "You're working very hard." He said, "Yes. Have you had any lunch yet?" He said, "No." He said, "Come inside." And the woman gave him a glass of milk and a cookie. Just one glass of milk and a cookie, that's all. He said thank you to her. Later on, he finished his school and went to university. He studied medicine. He became a doctor. He became a very, very good doctor who was specializing in surgery, especially for cancers. Many, many, many years later, he had a patient come to him, an old woman who had a cancer which was very far advanced. All the other doctors had given up on her, said that she would die. But this doctor looked at her and said, "I think I might be able to help you." He said, "This is experimental surgery, but I think I can help you." And he put her into hospital. And he rang up all his friends, some of the best surgeons and doctors in the country, and begged them to come to do this surgery on this woman. They had the very best doctors. The surgery was successful, and he saved her life. After she got better, because it was a private hospital, they gave her the bill. Now, when you go to hospital, a private hospital, and have such surgery, it costs a lot of money. Not $100, not $1,000, not even $10,000, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And when she got the bill, she was so surprised that when she opened the bill said, "Paid many years ago with a glass of milk and one cookie." It was that girl. He remembered the name of the girl, the woman, who when he was a student had given him a glass of milk and a cookie when he was hungry. And when that patient came to him, he remembered the name. He checked her address. It was her. And that's why He's tried everything he could. He called in all his favours from the friends who were doctors. He gave her extra and saved her life. And she never needed to pay any bills. It was just his way of saying gratitude for someone who'd just given him a glass of milk and a cookie when he was a very young student. Now that's what the law of karma is like. If you're kind to others, then they will be kind to you. I know many stories like that. I know animal stories where if you're kind to animals, animals will always look after you. I know the real story which was told to me about the tsunami. Those of you who remember the tsunami, these big waves which came to Indonesia and Sri Lanka and Thailand and killed many, many, many people. There was one man in Sri Lanka who every day would take a few pieces of bread to feed the fish. He'd throw them in the water so the fish could have something to eat. One day, a crocodile came. Now these are saltwater crocodiles, and they're very, very dangerous. They eat people if they fall in the water. This crocodile came, and the man gave the crocodile two or three pieces of bread as well. And then the crocodile came every day, at the same time to get some bread from this very kind man. As it happened, he was at the edge of the water feeding the fish when the tsunami wave came. It was early in the morning. He got caught in the big wave and started being swept out to sea. Many people died in that tsunami. He tried to hold on to a chair which was in the water, but the force of the current was so strong it separated him from the chair. He then held on to a log, a piece of wood which was floating in the current, and he managed to hold on to that. And then he noticed something very strange, something very odd. All the other furniture and stuff were flowing out to the sea, but this log was flowing back to the shore, to the land. It went so close to the land, he could jump up onto dry land, he was saved. And it was only then when he looked at his log, did he see that the log had a tail and a mouth. It was a crocodile. The crocodile would usually eat you. But this crocodile had remembered, this was the man who fed him bread every morning. This was the man who'd been kind to the crocodile, and in return, the crocodile saved that man's life. Now that's what happens when you're kind to animals. They're kind back to you. How much more if you're kind to your friends, or even kind to other people in your class at school? If you're kind to them, when you're in trouble, they will be there to help you. Not only that, it's already late. I haven't done any questions yet, so maybe I'll do some questions. Here we got a lot of questions here. How can I stop the murderers? Is that what it is? Okay, how you can stop the murderers. When you go up, be policemen. Is that a good idea? Now, how you can stop... Why do people murder people? Why do they kill people? Sometimes it all starts with a fight. Do you fight each other? Be careful. Because sometimes you will fight someone smaller than you. But anyone smaller than you has a brother who's bigger than you. And they come and hit you. And then your brother, who's bigger than his brother, comes and hits him. And then your father who's bigger than all your brothers, comes and hits you, and then his father comes and hits your father. And then his clan comes and hits that father, and your clan comes to fight that clan. That's where we get wars from. Do you like wars? No. So that way, all wars start from one little fight. So please don't fight one another. Otherwise, everybody hurts and gets murdered.
Okay, Ajahn, there are many questions here by all these beautiful children. I think I'll start with a more personal question.
Okay,
first.
Question number one.
Ajahn Brahm, why did you want to be a monk? Where are your parents? How is it like to be a monk?
Okay, why I wanted to become a monk is because I wanted to make people happy. I saw so many unhappy people in the world. And I know as a monk, I can help people solve their problems. I can teach people to be better people. I can teach your mum and dad to be kind to each other. I can teach you to be kind to each other. So we can have a more peaceful, happy world. So I become a monk to help other people. As far as my mother and father, my father died before I became a monk. So I've only got one mother and one brother. But we love each other very much. And my mother is very proud. She's very happy that I'm helping so many people, not just in Singapore, but in Australia and Indonesia and Malaysia and Thailand and Europe and America and many countries. So because I can help people, my family are very proud of me. Do you want your family to be proud of you? Yeah, you be a good person and help others.
Okay, the next question. Can you make me enlightened?
I can. So what does it mean to be enlightened? It means always being kind, always sharing what you've got with others. Do you share?
Yeah.
Always?
Yeah.
Being enlightened means you never fight anymore. Oh! You share and you're kind and you can love people. You don't have any enemies. That's what it's like. Do you want to be enlightened? If you keep being good kids and always be kind, being generous, being share, and don't be violent, then you're getting closer and closer to being like a Buddha.
Okay, I'm gonna summarize some of the questions here because they are quite related. How do I become a Buddha?
Very easy. Be kind.
Who taught you so much kindness, compassion?
The man behind me.
Okay. These questions are about friendship and emotional control. How can I let go of anger, hatred, and other things? How can I get rid of bad friends at school?
Okay. It's always good to choose the good friends, the kind friends. Because some of your friends will be stupid. So never go around with stupid boys or stupid girls. If you go around with stupid boys or girls, you become stupid too. So how do you know who's a stupid boy, who's a stupid girl? How can you tell? Now, one way you can tell is that a good friend is someone who's always kind to you, who never lets you down, who always supports you and stands up for you. Someone who you can trust. Before you can find a friend like that, you have to be such a person. So if you can be someone who's always trustworthy and kind, dependable, then you'll find other people who are just like you. But if you aren't kind, if you let other people down, you will never find a good friend yourself. And other people might be angry at you, but they're being stupid. And why allow stupid people to upset you? So other people can say bad things. Once, I'll tell you a story. Is it alright to go on a bit longer? Once there was a donkey. And the donkey was wandering in the forest when he fell into a well. He fell into a big hole in the earth. Fortunately, there was no water in the bottom of the well. And luckily, he did not injure himself, just a few cuts and bruises. But there was a donkey in the bottom of well, and donkeys can't climb. He waited there for a few minutes, there was no rope. He waited there for a few minutes and realized if someone never came to save him, he would die in the bottom of that well. So he started calling out, making donkey sounds. He was calling out for an hour or more before someone heard him. What's this donkey sound coming from the bottom of the well? And the man who heard that was a very bad man. He was a cruel farmer. And when the farmer saw that the donkey was in the bottom of the well, he said, "Serve you right, donkey. I never liked you. Now I've got a better idea," he thought. "I'm not just going to leave you down that well, because that well is very dangerous. Other people might fall into it. I'm going to fill in that well with you in the bottom." So he got out a spade and started shoveling dirt into that well. And donkey couldn't understand what was going on. Why was this man not helping him? Why was he throwing earth in? And then the donkey realized the cruel farmer was going to bury the donkey alive. Even louder he screamed. He was about to be buried in the bottom of the well. And the louder the donkey screamed, the happier the cruel farmer became. Until the donkey went quiet. Farmer thought, "Ha ha ha, I've buried the donkey already. Serve that donkey right. Ha ha ha." But he hadn't killed the donkey yet. The donkey hadn't been buried alive yet. The donkey became wise. He was a clever donkey. What he did, when the next shovel full of dirt fell on his back, all donkey did was to shake his back, stamp in the earth, and the donkey got an inch higher. Another shovel full of earth, shake it off, stamp it in, and another inch higher. All the time being quiet. So the farmer never realized what was going on. The farmer was shoveling earth into the well. Every time it hit the donkey's back, shake it off, stamp it in, another inch higher. Farmer was so busy shoveling in the earth, he never saw a pair of donkey ears above the top of the well. A few more shovelfuls, shake it off, stamp it in, an inch higher. Soon the donkey was high enough he could jump out of the well. But actually, according to the story as I read it, before the donkey ran off, he bit the farmer on the bottom. To teach the farmer the law of karma. You try and hurt other people and you get hurt back yourself. And the moral of that story, if someone is angry at you, if they say bad things at you, what should you do? Shake it off. Stamp it in. And you're a better person. You don't need to get angry back. Remember, if someone says stupid things at you, just shake it off, stamp it in, and you're a better person.
Okay. These children are asking, why isn't life easy? Why isn't life perfect? Why must we study so hard? How can I make myself smarter?
Okay. Now, your parents, do they have to work hard? But if they don't work hard, what would happen? They will have no money, you will have no toys, you will have no food to eat. So your parents have to work hard. Do the birds have to work hard to get their food? Do the cows have to work hard to eat the grass? Everybody has to work hard. Only if you're lazy do you become poor. Do you want to be poor? Do you want to be stupid? So what should you do? Work hard. That's why we have to work hard. So we're not stupid. So we're not poor. How do you work? How do you become smart? By listening. If you listen to teacher, you become smart. If you look at your friends and talk to them while teacher is teaching, you'll become dumb. That's how to become dumb, not paying attention. So if you want to be smart, always pay attention. If you want to be dumb, just turn around and talk to your friends.
Is that the formula to score straight A's? The question here is, how do I score straight A's in all my subjects?
Well, I used to score straight A's. That's how I used to get scholarships and go to Cambridge University. Last year, in Australia, in Western Australia, the boy who got the highest marks in the whole state of Western Australia at school was one of my students who'd come every week to the temple to listen to the talk, who would meditate. He got the prize, best student in secondary school in the whole state. Now, he got scholarship, all expenses paid, to Harvard University, where he's now studying. Why? Because he came to temple. Because he learned how to meditate. And because he learned how to be wise. So if you want straight A's, if you want to go to Harvard or Cambridge or Oxford, then that's what you should do. Listen to what goes on in the BF. This is powerful stuff. It works.
Next question. How do I make more friends? How do I get rid of people that disturbs me?
Okay. Now look at yourself in the mirror and you'll find that you disturb others. So if you want to have lots of friends, you have to learn how to be friendly. It's not the other people's fault. You have to learn how to be friendly. So if you're like talkative tortoise, you'll have no friends at all. If you're always unkind, you'll have no friends at all. If you don't know how to share, you'll have no friends at all. If you're dumb at school and you don't get high marks, if you get high marks then people want you to help them with the homework. That's how to have lots of friends. Be good at school and be kind and be a friendly person. Then you have lots and lots of friends.
Okay, last three questions. Why does the Buddha have six dots on his head? Why must all the Buddhas be bald? Why does Buddhas need to be vegetarian?
Okay. Now, especially why a Buddhist monk's bald. The reason is because you look at all the people, the way they wear their hair, it's all fashion. So sometimes people have long hair, sometimes short hair. Some people have like punk where they dye their hair one color one side and another color the other side. Now because monks don't believe in fashion, it's much easier just to shave all your hair off. And then all the monks look the same. So that means there's not one monk better than another monk. We all look the same. And also, it's very easy. I don't have to carry comb. I don't need to brush my hair in the morning. I don't need to go to a hairdresser. Sometimes ask your mummy how much it costs to go to a hairdresser. Oh. What? Yeah, okay. Question. A what? Another question. Nothing on here. Empty. On the top there. Another question here. So, that's why we don't have any hair at all. So, what's the other questions?
Why must Buddhists be vegetarian?
Why must be Buddhist vegetarian? You don't have to be vegetarian, but you must be kind to animals. So be kind to animals. Otherwise, animals will eat you. Would you like to be eaten by an animal? No, so you should be kind to animals.
Okay. Why do we need to chant again and again, even though we follow all the rules and the teachings?
Why you have to keep chanting again and again? So you learn what the chant is. Why do you have to keep doing tables at mathematics? Why do you have to keep revising until you learn it? So that's why sometimes we have to keep chanting. But also chanting. Chanting can be very powerful as well. Sometimes people can chant to get rid of ghosts. They can chant to make people happy. Chanting can be very, very powerful. Do you want to hear some chanting stories?
Yeah. Well, there are questions here who ask about how do I overcome the fear of ghosts and heights?
How you overcome the fear of ghosts? Number one. That you are much more powerful than ghosts. I'll tell you a ghost story. I don't know now if you're gonna mess around. I won't tell ghost story. So you gotta behave, otherwise I'll get the ghost to come and get you. Many friends who were ghosts. Okay. Once upon a time. This was a nice ghost story. Well, I'll tell you this ghost story. I don't know if you've heard this ghost story before.
Do we need to turn the lights off?
Okay. But we have to behave. You promise you won't get scared? Because usually if there is a ghost, they usually go and eat the naughty boys. Okay. This was in London. In London, it's a very old city with many old houses. Houses which have been there for hundreds of years. One of my friends bought one house. He bought it very cheap. The person selling it told him the reason it's cheap is because there's a ghost. My friend said, I don't believe in ghosts. It's just superstition. Suit yourself, said the person selling the house. So he bought the house. The first night he was in the house, there was no furniture there yet. It was just an empty house. He went to sleep, like camping out, in just a sleeping bag. Just after he fell asleep, he was woken up. There was a sound. Rap, rap. Rap, rap. He heard it. He got out of his sleeping bag. He turned on the lights to see what was making that sound. He checked the windows. They were all closed. The doors were locked. There was nothing in there. He thought, this must just be imagination. So he got back into bed. He closed his eyes. And he heard it again. Rap, rap. Rap, rap. He realized it was coming from upstairs. So he got out of his sleeping bag and he went upstairs. He turned the lights on. He checked all the windows and doors. There was no wind. There was no draft. There was nothing to make that sound. And he thought, my imagination. Because sometimes when you're afraid, imagination can play tricks on you. So he started going downstairs. Whoa. Whoa. He heard it again. It was coming from the top story. The third floor. Now, even though he didn't believe in ghosts, he was becoming scared. He walked up the stairs to the top story. He turned on the lights, and by now he was shaking. He looked all around the top story, trying to find out a reason for this rap, rap sound being made. He could find no cause at all. It was a mystery. So he started going downstairs to bed. When he heard it again, loudest still, rap, 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 rap. It was coming from the attic. The very top of the house, under the roof, the attic. He got a ladder. There was no electric lights up in the attic. It was dark, so he got flashlight. He got up the ladder, went into the attic, and in the attic, it was full of lots of old rubbish. Lots of dust, cobwebs, and old things. He shone his flashlight all around the attic, looking for the ghost, or looking for something which was making this rap, rap sound. He could see no ghost, he could see nothing. And he was just about to finish when he heard it right behind him. Rap, 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 right behind him. He turned around and shot the flashlight. He saw it. He saw it. It was an old piece of wrapping paper. Okay.
Okay. Are there any questions from the youth? Any questions at all? From the young people? No?
Was that scary? Nah, it's a joke.
Well, if there are no more questions, maybe, John, you want to share with us a chant that we can use to protect ourselves as well as...
Okay, a chant to protect yourselves from ghosts. I was going to tell another chanting story. This is a true story. One of the Buddhist nuns. We not have just monks, we also have nuns. If she ever comes to Singapore, you might notice that her head has got a scar all around. She's got bald head, she's got scar. The reason she got that scar, I'll tell you the story. Before she became a Buddhist nun, she was with her boyfriend visiting temples in Nepal. And she was walking in the mountains, in the foothills of the Himalaya Mountains in the north of Nepal, with her boyfriend. They came to a nice cave and they decided to rest a while and sit some meditation. Her boyfriend sat on a ledge above the cave. She sat in front of the cave. If ever you see a cave in the mountains, be careful, because sometimes those caves have owners. That cave was the home of a Himalayan black bear. The bear was out hunting. When it came back to that cave, it saw this English girl sitting in front of its cave, and it attacked that girl, a bear. And the bear got the girl's head in its jaws. Now this is a big bear, so much so that your head can fit into its mouth. And the bear tried to crush the girl's skull. You could see the teeth marks. But what the nun did, Namo Tassa Bhagavato. She chanted. And as soon as she chanted, true story, Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa, the bear let go and ran back into the forest. That's a true story. That's actually what happened. And she said, strange thing, but true. She said, it didn't hurt at all. She could feel no pain. But the worst part of that was the smell from the bear's mouth. Because the bear never brushes its teeth. Oh, that stank so much. Bears have got bad breath. Don't marry a bear, no. And don't get bitten by a bear. But if ever you're in trouble, that chant is very powerful. Namo Tassa. So you know that chant? Okay, let's chant it all together. Okay? Three times. Shh. One, two, three. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa. Remember that chant. If ever you're in trouble, chant that. Not only bears, but ghosts will run away. Okay?
Well done. Let us now put our hands together and then say Sadhu very loudly three times for Ajahn Brahmsri. Ready? One, two, go. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. And then bow three times, children. Thank you very much, Ajahn Brahm. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank See you, you later.